Busted Pencils is an independent production and has a joint sales agreement with Devil Radio. Enjoy!
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. Educated educators talking education.
Oh, it is Busted Pencils Tuesday night, fully leaded education talk. Facebook Live, if you're out there, you see our guest already out there, Alfie Cohn. We'll bring him in. But this whole idea, it's the Cohn Zone special edition for those of the podcast listeners who remember when we have Alfie on. But Alfie Cohn, just out there. Every book he's ever written, everyone should read. My favorite, though, is still The Schools Our Children Deserve. Alfie, that's always my favorite book because being in a teacher educator, the idea of talking about teaching. But Alfie, you've had a couple blogs. The last one, though, talking about this kind of how do we describe people. I said I wanted to do learning loss. You're like, we did that already. But I said, you know, I don't think people have had enough of it. But why don't we take this idea and say, if I critique learning loss and if I subscribe to being a progressive educator. Well, let's start with that. If I'm a progressive educator, what does that mean to Alfie Cohn? What does that mean historically if I'm a progressive educator?
Well, there's no single, simple, fixed definition of that, which is only appropriate. It would be a little odd and ironic if there was a fixed, single definition of that, since thinking freely and deeply is part of what this consists of. Progressive educators are often in the spirit of John Dewey and Jean Piaget and the work of others who have come before and after them. It consists, generally speaking, of an interest in putting students at the center, where the center of gravity is the interests and needs of the student, as John Dewey said. Rather than a prefabricated curriculum and set of rules to which each student must accommodate him or herself. It means that kids play an active role in helping to design the curriculum and set the understandings of how we're going to function in a classroom. It means there's often a lot of collaboration where kids are learning with and from each other. It means there's more of an emphasis on understanding ideas from the inside out, rather than just practicing a series of isolated skills or cramming a bunch of facts into short-term memory for a test. So kids are playing an active role. There's a lot of deep thinking going on. And as Dewey put it, the learning is based on real life questions and interests that students have. So it connects with their real lives rather than having to be tarted up, sugar-coated to be made artificially palatable with things like ed tech and nowadays to otherwise kids wouldn't want anything to do with it. When they're doing project-based, student-centered, deep thinking kinds of inquiry, exploring ideas, you don't have to bribe or threaten them to do it.
Okay, so there you are out there, listener, teachers who's out there. I'm a progressive educator. You heard it from Alfie Cohn himself, the myth, the man, the legend. All right, so now I'm right there. I get that. I identify with that. Why is it that this discussion of learning loss then bothers me if I'm a progressive educator?
Because the idea that being away from school for a while causes you to lose what you had is based on deeply anti-progressive assumptions about what learning consists of in the first place. I mean, it's true that if you just memorized a bunch of facts, like how far away is the sun, or what's the definition of a predicate, yeah, you never had any interest in that. It didn't come from your own questions to begin with. You might well forget it. How do you work a quadratic equation, whatever it is? You might lose it unless you're constantly rehearsing it. But if that's not what learning is for you in the first place, then learning loss becomes a kind of puzzling and odd concept. If, for example, You're in a classroom where you come to understand mathematical concepts like place value, because you've helped to construct the meaning of that. Or if you know how to set up an experiment, because that's what science class was. It was about doing science, not memorizing definitions. You don't lose that.
Okay.
It doesn't seep out of your ear when you don't have somebody who makes you keep doing it. And so for me, the concept of learning loss is problematic because it raises the question not only of will kids be at a disadvantage if they're away from school all summer or during a pandemic all year, but what were we doing in school such that it could be lost is the deeper question that it opens up.
So then that's where we want to put this out there. So learning loss, if you're a progressive educator there, please understand what we're talking about this issue of going, what was it that was lost? And Alfie, thanks for making that reference, because typically this concept was pre-pandemic, was usually jammed down our throats as we were coming back in August from school, how much summer learning loss had occurred.
Exactly.
And
right.
So now it's this. But even that then, though, if you are really worried about learning loss, there is a tradition and a history behind where you might be coming from about the way you think kids learn and all of that stuff, that kind of you behaviorism or traditionalism. Talk about that a little bit, though, too.
Well, and by the way, it wasn't only in the context of so-called summer learning loss that led a lot of people to prescribe this regimen of remedial summer school. So some kids wouldn't lose. It's also manifest itself in another topic that I think you and I have talked about and I've written about, which is homework.
Right.
You know, there's really not only a set of beliefs about learning and education that are highly traditional and derive more from behaviorism, which is a largely repudiated concept among those who are actual scholars of
and when people say just, right, behaviorism too, just a quick one, this is the reward punishment. Look, if I reward you, you'll do what I want. If I punish you, you'll stop doing bad things.
Not just that, but also behaviorism is about looking only at the actions that can be seen and measured.
Okay.
And based on breaking tasks up into little bitty pieces, feeding them to kids or rats sequentially,
right,
with reinforcement, as you point out, and then constant evaluation. So, I mean, that's why you have the, and maybe someday we'll talk about this too, is how behaviorism, even though it hasn't a leg to stand on intellectually, still drives our education system, including the diet of isolated phonics skills, which has been wrapped up in the mantle of the science of reading, even though it does not represent real science, and many other things too. So that's all there. But you know what else is there is sort of this Protestant work ethic.
Okay.
This notion that we are very, very uncomfortable with kids just enjoying themselves, even after school, even during the summer, or learning in different ways during the pandemic. There's this sense that, you know, it's like Sisyphus. You got to be rolling the boulder up the hill constantly, because if you stop for a minute, it's just going to slide down. The idle hands are the devil's workshop.
Well, I was going to say, you were reminding me of the idle hands of the devil's work. I mean, good. We don't want kids sitting around without something to do, because they might think of something bad to do.
That's right, because we don't trust them. That's right. We don't trust kids, and we certainly don't trust them to make decisions about free time.
Okay, so there we go. So first part of the show, nice education for the listener. We've got traditionalism, which is essentially behaviorism, which most of us actually have a really good understanding of, because it's probably been the most, I don't want to say it's the preferred, but it's been the method of instruction for a long time. And for a lot of people who've gone to school, it just feels like, well, that's common sense. That's the way it happened.
And when behavior control and assessment.
Right. It feels like that. And when you talk about progressivism, though, people are like what you're saying, Alfie, like what I'm saying when they hear, you know, Tim Slugger talking about this. And people are like, I want to get behind that. And the fact is though, when we really want to get moving with that, there's a lot of work, because what you just talked about is the fact that we're going to dig deep into learning. But here we are, though, post-COVID learning loss. And before we enter into the break, and as we're about to come back, is learning loss, though, also a proxy for reestablishing, as we come back from the pandemic, this sense of the possibility that progressives might run amok and take over the education system? That's the question to be thinking about, Alfie, as we're going over the break and as we come back. Learning loss, it's going to stop us from going and becoming progressive. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education, back after the break.
And what if it always bothered me? What if I never did believe? Would it be wrong if I decided I should leave?